Airport this morning and spent the afternoon with the pastor and his wife, and they had a wonderful dinner at the house and hung out there a little bit, got to know him a little better, and then we headed up this way. And boy, by the time I got to Marietta, I come out of Ravenswood, and by the time I got over to Ravenswood, boy, it was snowing pretty hard down there, and there was all kinds of wrecks coming up to here, and I'm thinking, oh boy, but the closer I got up here, the snow was getting lesser and lesser. My wife, I talked to her on the phone, and she was a little bit worried, and because I lost a signal on my cell phone, and I didn't call her back for about 15 minutes because I couldn't get any signal when I did, and boy, she was worried. She thought, because I just got done telling her, this guy told the preacher about this, some guy with a brand new GMC four-wheel drive must have thought it was, you know, just great to just go blow through there, and well, he ended up against the guardrail and busted that truck all up, and so I felt bad for him, but praise God he got us here safe, amen. I'm glad that some of you are here tonight. But I want to, God is, the last couple of days with me has instructed me with this evening service. I want to talk a little bit about Rock of Ages, but I have a testimony that I want to share with you along with some scripture and try to encourage you. I believe tonight that Sunday night folks, most of us are saved, amen. Most of us are here because we're saved and we just want to be fed. And I want you to know some things today that I know this world that we're living in is not our home. That's what the Bible tells us. Amen. It's not easy to live in these days. But you know something? I've had a lot of people say, boy, I don't know that I've ever seen it as bad as this. But you know something? People 100 years ago were saying the same thing. Amen. The devil's still the same. He works that way. But I want to leave a couple of scriptures here. In the prison ministry, I think about the Apostle Paul, and he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, if you'd turn there with me, I just want to read a few verses and make my prayer, and I'll talk a little bit about the ministry and challenge you in some things tonight. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto God." Excuse me. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, Father, we come to you tonight. And, Lord, I'm asking and just praying tonight in this time that we have in the Word, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to gather some things. And, Lord, I want to be a blessing to these people. So, Father, I'm just asking that you would fill me with your Spirit, that you would get my lips to say the things that you want me to. And, Father, I pray that you touch the hearts of these people that are here. And, God, I'll just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, I kind of call him, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was a mean man. Amen. He was responsible for killing thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Christians. We cannot tell the toll, but God knows. Amen. And I think about this as you may be praying for somebody, and maybe you've been praying for somebody for a long time, and you think there's no hope. Can I tell you there was people praying for Saul of Tarsus? Amen. There was people that were praying for him to get saved. And we look at people sometimes and we think there's no hope. But I want to tell you something tonight. You're looking at a preacher that I think the reason that I like going into prisons because I've been there. Amen. I wasn't incarcerated for a long time, but I hold in my hand as a 19-year-old boy, I was arrested for public intoxication. I wrecked my car. And I spent the night in jail in the little town that I lived in. And that was the start of my sin and really just a life that was going in the wrong way. And I think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was Saul of Tarsus, and he was a Pharisee of a Pharisee, brought up in a good family of Pharisees, his dad, and all of that. He was raised that way, and when Jesus Christ came into this world and the gospel started going forth, we know that Saul of Tarsus was not happy about that, and it was his determination to wreck and ruin the gospel being out. And we know that I use that phrase, a mean man. Well, I want to say here that my life was the same way. I was raised in a very good home. We lived in Talmadge, Ohio. My mother and father were great parents. My father was very loving to me and my brothers, and he did a lot of things with us. They took us to church. Every Sunday we went to the Methodist Church in Talmadge. And it was there that that church, as I recall, never really preached the gospel like we do in our churches, amen. We never challenged anybody to be saved. You never heard that word, even though it's in the Bible, amen. But they were more, more of a friendly gospel, I guess. But I did learn in my younger years about Jesus. And I remember my teacher, her name was Martha Taylor, and I was an ornery boy, and she was good friends with my mom, and she just recently died just a few years ago. But you know something, you've got children in this church here. I was an ornery little boy, amen? And she used to tell me, she says, you know, you need to really think about Jesus. She said those kind of things to me, and I know that that lady prayed for me, but I can remember she taught stories about Jesus. There was never an invitation to be saved or anything like that in that church, but she talked about him as the Savior and all of those things. I can remember some of that, but I can remember one thing that happened in my life. I can remember at 206 Wilson Avenue in Talmadge, Ohio. One day, on a bright sunny day in the garage, I walked out in the driveway, and I looked up to the sky, and I said this. I says, God, I says, are you really up there? Is that where you are? I was curious about where he was and who he was. And you know something? There came a time in my life where God answered that prayer. Amen. It wasn't in a year. It wasn't in 5 years. It wasn't in 10 years. But God did a miraculous thing in my life. He answered that question. And it happened this way, is my father, again, was a very intelligent man. He had a lot of good ideas. He raised me and my two brothers up in a manner that we were hard workers. He taught us to work. He taught us to save money. He taught us to do all the things that a father would do. Amen. And I fell in love with a girl in high school, and my father saw some things in me right away when I got with that girl that he didn't like, and he tried to talk to me about that, and I didn't have anything to do with that because she was beautiful and I loved her. And anyways, to make a long story short, you know, boys are boys, and when we grew up, my brothers and I, we got in some trouble, a little bit of trouble, you know, doing different things, and we still talk about that stuff. We talked about that with my dad years ago. He's been gone since 2008. But we were ornery boys, and we got in trouble with the neighbors and stuff like that, and we did some crazy things, you know, when you sleep out like boys do. But nothing ever really bad. But once I met this girl and fell in love with her, I was introduced to there when I was a young boy, probably 12, 13, 14 years old. You know, we did all those different things that you do. And but when I was started to date this girl in high school, one of the first things that her daddy did is when I'd go over to see her, he would come to the door and tell me to hit the road. Amen. Well, that was, I guess, for me now, I would think that, you know, if I've got a daughter, I've got an older daughter, and she's married to a preacher, and their pastor, he's pastor in a church down in Shreveport, Louisiana, and but I would like to say this, is that I wish that I would have had, I didn't have to have that opportunity, my daughter, because I was saved when she was growing up, and we didn't have to worry about that. But her father told me to hit the road several times, I think probably for about 3 or 4 weeks. And for whatever reason, one time, she must have just begged him to let me come in the house. And so when I came into that house for the very first time, He wasn't real cold. He was kind of friendly, and I don't know what that was all about. But one of the things that he did is that he offered me a beer. And can I say something to you? That when we were kids, we used to, you know, do that kind of stuff. And didn't like it. But for whatever reason, that night, and I'm just saying that because we've got young people here, influences are, you need to be careful about who you hang around with. Amen? And so I happened to like what he gave me. And I'll be honest with you, the end result of that was 20 years of alcoholism. That's where it ended up at. Amen. And my wife and I married that girl. And we were married for a number of years. And the wonderful thing is that God was working, I believe, all through all of this. Listen, I don't believe that God he didn't want me to drink and be drunk and all of those different things. But what I'm saying there, I believe God was working within that. Now, I want to say just a couple of things. We're talking about God seeking us. The Apostle Paul was wonderfully saved. Amen. And it was a number of years my wife and I got married. We had two children. And for a number of years, that's all we did. Our life was a big party. And some things that I want to encourage you about is this, is that there needs to be a time in our life. You know, the Apostle Paul is telling us here that rejoice in the Lord always, and again, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You can't do anything. Be careful for nothing. All of these verses here from 4 to 7, you can't do those things outside of God's help, the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And so that relationship was what is so important. And my wife, in 1989, I was down in North Carolina in business, and we got married in 1978. So this is 11 years later. I was in January. I was down calling on some accounts in North Carolina. She called me on the phone. She was having some pain in her chest, and she told me on the phone, she says, you need to come home. She says, they found out what's going wrong with me. I said, what is that? She says, I have breast cancer. And so I came home, and we went to the doctor and together, and she ended up having to have a mastectomy. And that cancer, the doctor told me in the hospital at City Hospital there in Akron, when he got done with that mastectomy with her, he sat with me and he says, Dave, he says, the surgery was successful. He says, but the one thing that I need to tell you is that he says that your wife's, all of her lymph nodes were involved. And he says, what that means is that he says this, the cancer is going to come back. And I, you know, was trying to digest that. Well, that was in 1989. She went through 1990. She had a total rebuild and one of those Cadillac surgeries, all of that stuff. And everything was going fine. And then in 1990, at the end there at Christmas time, she told me this. She told me that she was no longer going to drink. She was no longer going to do that. And not only did she do that, but she started to go to church. And the wonderful thing is, I want you to understand this, is here I am, I'm a businessman, I'm a drunk, and I want you to know this, is that that booze was my God at that time. It truly was. It had a hold of me. That's what I worshiped. That's what we did. She cold turkey dropped that. And I'm saying that God's got a plan. I want you to understand that and listen to every facet of this. I'm giving you a lot of information, but I want you to know today that God works within situations. And you know that to be true. I'm not teaching you anything that you don't know. But I want you to know that it was over a period of years that God was working in my life that I didn't even know that He was. Amen. But I believe from that little 12-year-old boy in the driveway looking up to the sky and asking, God, are you real? He was working these things out through the tragedies in my life. And so this relationship that we talk about, Paul was transformed. He was wonderfully saved. He was walking this way and he started to walk that way. Amen. Well, my wife took this about face and started to go to church. And the wonderful thing is that, you know, God had a church picked out for her. Now, let me say something to you. Bus ministry. The neighbors down the street were already taking our two children, my daughter and my son. They were taking them to church. We weren't. We were staying at home. They started taking them to church, so when my wife decided she was going to go to church, it was pretty easy. She said, hey kids, where are you going? You know, a lot of bus parents don't even know where the church is, really, do they? Isn't that crazy? I was in the bus ministry for a number of years up at Community Baptist Temple where I'm my sending church. And my wife and I ran the buses over in Goodyear Heights, and man, we had a blast. It's an amazing thing. You can knock on a door and say, hey, listen, we got a couple of kids here that belong to you, and I'm just asking, is it all right if we take them to church? Yeah, sure. Slam the door. They don't even ask you what church or anything. It's amazing, isn't it? And so that's kind of what we did. Amen. The neighbor down the church, you know, the neighbor down the road, he said, hey, is it all right if we take, my daughter was girlfriends with the girlfriends down there. And so that's how it all happened. Well, it was pretty easy then when my wife wanted to go to church. They were going to a Baptist church. Amen. And let me say something. When she started to go to the church, that's when the war started. Amen. Now, we're talking about the prayer here. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, and the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You're praying for some things in here. I know you are. And some of you have been praying so long that you think there's no hope. Can I tell you there's hope? You're looking at that hope right now. My wife started going to church, and unbeknownst to me, because I have been a Christian now for so many years, I look back on that and I know exactly what she was doing. When she announced to me that she was going to church, she wanted me to go with her. And I said, forget that. Amen. Because I was serving another God. And so she got to praying unbeknownst to me. But God had a plan, and she would ask me to go to church every Sunday when she'd get up, and I can remember so many Sunday mornings that I'd been doing things on Saturday night that I had no desire to be in church, but there was one day that she kept praying and praying and praying for me, and I had told her no about church, and that Monday morning I left for Columbus, Ohio, for a couple of days to call on accounts down in Columbus. And everybody knows what a Bible tract is, correct? Bible tract is just simply it's the gospel of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I drove down to Columbus, and that first morning I stop and get coffee, McDonald's, Circle K, those kind of things, as I was making my calls down there. And when I asked God, when I was a 12-year-old boy, God, are you real? Are you really up there? I believe that's when he really started to reach out to me. But three times in the same morning in three different public bathrooms, I came across Bible tracts. Now, some people would say, well, that's a coincidence. No, that was God. And I picked up every one of them, and I read them. The next day, I was down below Columbus, and I got done with my last appointment with the buyer. I had a meeting with the buyer. When I walked out, it was March of 1991, and I sat in my car, and I read all three of those tracts again. And God impressed in my heart that I needed to be saved. I stepped out of the car, looked up to heaven, and asked God to save my soul. Now, that's when the relationship started. Now, I called my wife later that day in the afternoon as I was coming home, and I says, you'll never guess what happened this afternoon. And she says, what? I says, I got saved. Well, she was quiet for probably 10 seconds. I think she probably just passed out. I don't know. But she finally says to me, she says, how do you know that? That's what she asked me. She says, how do you know that you're saved? I said, well, and I told her the story. And you know something? There's a lot of people that, you know, I've had some people say that, you know, I don't believe that you can just read a tract and be saved. I can tell you, you can read a tract and be saved. Amen. Because it's the Word of God. And God works through that. So that was the very start of what God wanted to do with Dave Herman. So when I came home, I announced to her that, you know, yeah, I got saved. And that was, I wasn't real excited about it. But I started to go to church a little bit more and a little bit more. But God had a plan. And I'm telling you all this because God has a plan in your life as well. There's people that you want to see saved. There's people that you're praying about different things. And I'm telling you, God isn't on our timetable. He's on His arm table, on His table. And it's important for that. And the Apostle Paul, it's an amazing thing when we look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, how he was torturing and killing and all these Christians. And people were probably praying, Lord, why won't you kill this guy? Why don't you stop this? But God had a plan. Amen. I think about the Apostle Paul there in the book of Acts. I won't turn there tonight, but I tell you what a wonderful story there is there in the 16th chapter about how Paul and Silas are in that prison. Amen. And just fired up. Amen. Singing and praising God. Amen. Paul got in trouble for preaching the gospel on the street, so they threw him in jail. And the jailer was the one that put him in there and locked him in, put him in the inner stocks in his feet, and they're sitting in there singing praises and praying and having a good old time, and revival comes down, and that angel of the Lord come down and knocked that door off. Well, I can tell you, the Holy Spirit one day in my life, in the bedroom, my wife had continued to ask me to come to church, and one day I told her, I said, I'm not going to go to church. This was after I had got saved, because that booze was still part of my life. And preacher, you know what I'm talking about. She left, and you know what got me with her is that she come into the bedroom just before she went out of the house, and she says, are you coming? I said, no. Well, somebody beat me up in that room for about 15 minutes. That was after I got saved. I mean, it was like somebody was punching me in the stomach. Somebody was just beating me up. But it was that still small voice inside of me. And it was almost, I tell people like this now, I don't know exactly and remember all that. It was a long time ago, but I do know this. It was like the Lord told me, you get out of that bed, you get in that bathroom and get a shower and shave your face and you get to church. Now, let me say something about that. I did that. I got in the car. I went to church. I got there for the 11 o'clock service. I got there about 15 minutes earlier. And when I walked in, my wife and her mother were sitting in a pew just like you are. The look on my wife's face when I touched her was precious. Not to me, then it was. But she's like, you know something? Isn't it funny how we'll pray for things? And then when God answers it, we're like, wow! Can I tell you, God wanted me in church. God wanted me saved. Amen? And so, what happened after that is that my wife had that relationship with the Lord. I had that relationship with the Lord. But God had a plan. And the situation was with my wife, is that, remember I said the doctor told me when they took all those lymph nodes out that they were cancerous, and he said that cancer is going to come back. And so in 1991, later that year, my wife, it was in July or August, said, I've got some pain in my side. She says, I don't know if I fell and broke a rib or what happened, but she says, she complained about it a little bit. And so here I am down in North Carolina again. I was in North Carolina when she got cancer the first time, she told me, and came home. I was down in North Carolina this time, and she went to have some testing. It wasn't a broken rib. Her cancer was in her liver, and it was totally involved. She called me to come home. And so I came home from North Carolina, and we dealt with that. And I'm just glad that God looks for us when we're not looking for Him. Because what I went through in those next, we found out in September that her liver was just shot, and it was totally cancer. It was full of cancer. And I can remember a young doctor. We had just got new insurance, and we had to change doctors. And this doctor was very young. Matter of fact, it was his first year. He was working for Kaiser Permanente. And I'll never forget that doctor telling us that they got the, you know, he got the results, and he says, your liver is full of cancer. And he was sitting there weeping, and I'm sitting there weeping and dealing with that. But I'm glad that God saved my soul. Amen. So we see here Paul says that be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. What happened with me then is I started to pray with my wife. I started to pray for my children. We started to get into church, and unfortunately, that was in September. She passed away 6 months later, on a couple days after her 34th birthday. We buried her. And the interesting thing was, is that my boss has told me, he says, Dave, you take as much time as you need. Don't worry about coming to work. We'll cover your accounts. We'll get all that stuff taken care of. So for 6 weeks, I stayed home, and it was a horrible thing. But I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about supplication. I'm talking about reliance on God tonight. The Apostle Paul learned through prayer, through all the things, to just lean on God today. You know, this world we live in is not our home, and we're bombarded. You know, these things right here, these electronics are just totally stealing our prayer life, sometimes stealing our thinking right, all of those things. But the Holy Spirit of God is still working today. And I'm just, young people that are here, let me be sure that you understand me today. Listen to your mom and dads about relationships. Amen. My dad tried to get me away from my first wife. Praise God that I've got two beautiful children and that my daughter is serving with a pastor. Amen. My other boy's away from the Lord right now. He's got a good job. He works hard. But God's good. Amen. And be careful about the choices you make, because sometimes those scars last forever. But the reliance on God with me is that I started a prayer life, and I got close to God, and when it was time for her to pass away, it crushed my heart. But God still had a plan. Amen. You know, we have times in our life, death is a natural thing. We all go through it. Amen. One day I'll pass away, and somebody else will be hurt. But when my wife, for 6 weeks, I'll be honest with you, what I did is I still had a drinking problem. And I went to North Carolina again. This is the third time. After 6 weeks of just being alone and with my children, I went back to work. The first week, I went down to North Carolina. I got into a hotel in Charlotte that night, and praise God for the Gideons. When I got into the hotel room that night after dinner, I pulled that Bible out of there, and I read that thing for hours. And I asked God to do something that I couldn't. I asked God, I was relying on Him, said, God, I can't quit drinking. I said, I cannot do that. I said, would you please help me? I said, I know I can't do this. Well, I woke up that next morning, and I had that Bible. I fell asleep with that Bible on my chest. I can still remember that just like it was yesterday. And that was April of 1992. I got a shower, got in my vehicle, and I went to the coast of the Carolinas to call in some accounts out there. And that night I had a buyer and his wife to dinner. And that was the last time that I ever drank, was at that dinner. I had a few drinks with those folks, and they left. I went up to the bar and sat there until they closed, and I went to the Hampton Inn that I was staying in that night. And the next morning, that relationship got a little bigger. When I woke up that morning, it was almost like God was in that room. It was so thick, and it was so just, the first thing that I thought about when I woke up is that I would never drink again. And it was so profound that I got a shower, got in my car, and started to head back to Winston-Salem. First thing I did is I called my secretary and I said, "I have any messages?" And she says, "No." And I said, "Well, guess what happened last night?" And she says, "What?" I said, "Well, I said I was out with some folks, and I said I drank my last drink. I said I'm not going to drink anymore." She was a good Catholic lady. She really was. And she said, "David," she says, "what do you mean by that?" And I told her, I said, "When I woke up this morning, I said it felt like God was in the room, and the impression in my mind was that I would never drink again." Now, some people say, "You know, I don't know about that, Brother Dave," but I can tell you this, it was so profound, it was almost as though the Holy Ghost had just said that to me, and I was so certain that it was true that that was April 16th of 1992, and what he did is he took that desire away. You see, and that's my game plan in the prisons. The prisons are running rampant today with abusers. Amen? They're either sex abusers, they're drunks, they're drug abusers. The flesh is strong. Amen? But once you get saved, once you get that relationship with God and you plead with a God in heaven that wants to do something with you, listen, if God can take a man like Saul of Tarsus and turn him into the preacher man that he was and have such a love for Christians and have such a love for people, he can change anybody. Amen? And so, when I came back home, God still had a plan. When I got back, I got very busy in church, and my wife and I, or my wife that I'm married to now, the way that came about is that very first summer, Bearing Precious Seed was there at our spring missions conference that we had. And Verlis Collins, you might know who he is. He worked with Bearing Precious Seed for a long time. But he was there at the missions conference, and I really liked him. He kind of grabbed a hold of me. He knew that I just got saved, and he really kind of helped me a lot. And he invited me to go to Mexico. He goes, "We're going to Mexico in July." He goes, "Why don't you come with us?" So me and my daughter at 13 years old, we got on that bus with Verlis and his wife and some other folks, Pastor O'Donnell from Community Baptist Temple. He went with us. He was the youth director at our church at that time. And so there we went down to Mexico. And you know what that did to me? That solidified what I wanted to do. Changed my life. You see, when you go to Mexico, it's a little bit different. You could knock doors in this town and people will shut the door onto you sometimes. Matter of fact, sometimes it seems more of that than anything. Amen. They don't want to talk about it. Oh, I don't need that because we've got all the things in America. But can I tell you this? That we went into a mountain area with his son. His son was in Mexico full time, had a church up in the mountains. And can I say something to you in that 8 or 9 days that we were down there, we saw over 300 people saved. Now, I don't know about you, but it could probably take a whole year to get 300 people around here on the streets saved. Amen? That was in a matter of 3 or 4 or 5 services in 5 nights in a row. It totally changed my outlook on Christianity. Amen? So when I came back, we were so fired up about that, and that relationship with God just kept growing and growing, and I started to rely on God. I became a soul winner. Amen? Later that year, my pastor had a soul winning class, and I sat in there on Thursday nights. It was a 6-week soul winning class on Thursday nights. And one night, this lady and this other lady walked in and sat down right beside me, and I never even said a word to her. Because I was still just kind of in a fog about my wife dying. But can I tell you, just a few months later, as I was sitting in a church on Sunday morning, I was in the auditorium, and the adult Sunday school class was in the auditorium, and that lady and her mother walked in again down on the other side of the auditorium, and it was just like the Holy Spirit said, "That's going to be who's going to take your place of your wife." And I thought, it was profound, preacher. And it was almost like he spoke to me that first time about some other things. And listen, I'm not Pentecostal, I'm not any of those things, but that's what he did. I went to my preacher and I said, preacher, I said, listen, I said, this Cheryl girl, I says, what do you know about her? I says, I feel like God wants me to ask her out. And there's something there. Well, he tells me, he says, Brother Dave, he goes, she's a wonderful girl. He says, she's never been married. And he told me this. He says, I've counseled with her, and he said she's not able to have children because she had some cancer in her early years, and she had to have all her female parts taken out, so she wasn't able to have babies. And I said to my preacher, I says, well, listen, I said, this past Sunday morning when she walked in with her mama, she just sounded like God just said, that's the girl. And he said to me, he goes, Brother Dave, he goes, that'd be a good one. Amen. Now, let me say something to you about that, talking about reliance on God. We rely on a lot of things. But can I tell you, after the prodding of my 13-year-old daughter, I finally made that phone call to ask her out on a date. And I picked up that phone and I put it down and I picked up that phone and I put it down over a couple of days. And finally my daughter says, Dad, make the phone call. That's back when you had your phones in the house and people still had answering machines. So I finally got the guts and I let it ring and it rang and it rang and rang 3 or 4 times. And guess what? The answering machine came on. That was like, whew. Amen. That was scary for me. But you know something? The wonderful thing is being reliant on God. Listen, we need to rely on God to finish the plan. Amen? So I left her a message. The next day she calls me back. I asked her out on a date, and guess what she said? Yes. Amen? We went on a date, and I like food. Didn't know she was a vegetarian. So she wasn't talking a whole lot. You know, she's sweet as ever, good looking. And this seemed like a real nice girl, but I ordered all these, what do you call those things you get before dinner? I can't think what they call appetizers. That's it. I ordered all these appetizers. I really thought I was doing right. And after all those things came, she wasn't eating anything. I said, why don't you eat this stuff? She goes, well, I don't eat that stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. So what do you eat? She goes, well, I'm vegetarian. Now, we've been married for 26 years, and I've totally ruined her. She does eat fish now, and she eats a whole bunch of junk, amen, but she's still a vegetarian. She won't eat any kind of red meat or nothing like that. But you know something? We had such a wonderful time that night, and all I'm saying is this, is that I know that God said something about that girl, that was the one. I asked her out a week later, called her a couple days after our first date. I says, let's go out next week, and she says, sure will. After that second date, got to know her a little better. When I dropped her off at her house and I got back home, I still didn't call on cell phones. I was still calling landline. When I got to the house, I called her up on the phone. I said, you know something? I said, it seems like God's doing something here. She goes, I agree. So you know what I did? Next day, I asked her out again and I called my preacher. I said, I need to talk to you. So I went and counseled with him. He told me all about this woman, told me that she was never married, loves kids, all of these things. And I says, well, preacher, I said, listen, I told you a few weeks back that what God told me. I said, I think this is the girl. Now listen, my family, when I told my bosses that I was going to get married, I asked her, after that meeting, I went home and I called her on the phone and I asked her over the phone, I says, would you marry me? And you know what she said? Just like that, she says, yes. 3 weeks later, we walk down the aisle, and preacher, I can't tell you how perfect the marriage is. I can't tell you how much my kids love. Matter of fact, you know, my kids, both of them live out of town. They don't call Dad, they call Mom. And they've been calling her that for a long time, amen? And all I'm saying is there has to be a relationship. You know what happened to me? God had a plan. I believe when I was a little 12-year-old boy, when the teacher taught me about Jesus, and I asked God, God, are you real? He let me know that one day, amen. I got saved, and my life started to come apart, and the wonderful thing is we need to be totally dependent on Him, amen. And I'm trying to encourage you a little bit here. The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, if you are asking God for things, you understand that it comes in His timing. Amen? And that plan sometimes is this peace and that peace. But can I tell you, when I've got that relationship with God, and He's done these wonderful things for me, and our marriage is a wonderful thing, and some things that I've learned, and I just want to tell you this, is that when I first got saved and when I got busy in the ministry, I would counsel with my pastor a lot. You know, this man here has a lot of wisdom. And when you're going to make decisions, young people, you need to call your preacher. You know, so preacher, can I bounce some things off of you? It'll save you a lot of heartache, a lot of problems. Mom and dads, you can do the same thing. Pray and ask God to do things. But my preacher gave me a lot of good advice, and he taught me how to be a man of God. Amen? We've been serving all these years, and it all started with this. Amen? God had to take care of the sin first. Once He took care of the sin, everything else came together. And this is just God's plan where I'm at now. As a matter of fact, I think I'm a little bit late getting into the prison ministry. I loved being a pastor. I loved my people, and I had a hard time stepping down from that. It took me 3 years from when He first talked to me about it. He didn't talk specifically about the prison ministry, but He talked about some changes. About 3 or 4 days after that, my wife told me the same thing. She says, "God's been talking to me in my devotions about some changes are coming." I'm just glad that we listen to God. Are you reliant on God tonight? Do you have a relationship with Him? That's the thing tonight, is you have to have that relationship, and then you have to have that reliance. Amen? And when we have that, what we have is a tremendous amount of peace. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to You tonight, Lord. Again, we just want to, Father, ask and pray, Lord, on behalf of these people. Father, that You would, Father, encourage them, Father, number one, to have that relationship, Lord, through salvation, and then God, a reliance on You, Father, for the plan that You have for them. And Father, I pray that You just do something, even in this, Father, altar call tonight, Lord. And Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.